been in a series of messages on Don't Get Stuck There. A few weeks ago, we began looking at some places where we get stuck, places we're very likely to get stuck, and we began with self-pity. Tonight, we'd like to look at another place and spend a few weeks on this, and that's the place of anger. I'd like to turn to Psalm 37, Psalm 37, verse 8, and also Ephesians chapter 4. Psalm 37, 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. These verses serve as a warning against anger, which conveys, of course, the idea of danger, the idea of risk, and there is such a thing as the trap of anger. And the admonition of these two verses also present human responsibility in dealing with anger and also dealing with the behaviors that proceed from anger. Tonight, we just want to try to get an understanding of anger. First thing we want to consider is, what is it? What is anger? Anger, of course, is an emotion, and people have a tendency to overlook or to justify all their emotions, but we are responsible. We are responsible for our emotions. And anger is an emotion, which means that anger is an inward feeling. Many times we confuse the behaviors of anger with anger, but they're really two separate issues. Anger is an emotion. It's an inward feeling. It's a very strong, very vigorous feeling of passion or displeasure aroused by situations such as emotional or physical injury or mistreatment or persecution or any perception of these things. So anger is a feeling, a feeling of arousal concerning something that troubles us, concerning something that perhaps we feel threatened by, offended by. It's an intense emotional reaction, and the intensity of it is seen in both Moses and David. Notice in the book of Exodus, chapter 32 and verse 19, Exodus 32 and verse 19, and in both of these cases, this is not sinful anger, and again, anger is not always sinful. In Exodus 32 and verse 19, speaking of the intensity of this anger, and it came to pass as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. Moses' anger waxed hot. That shows the intensity that Moses was feeling at this time. And then also notice 2 Samuel chapter 12, we see that Nathan has come. He is confronting David with his sin. David, of course, doesn't realize that. Nathan speaks in a parable. And the parable that Nathan spoke to David aroused anger in David toward one of the men in the parable. In verse 5, and David's anger was greatly kindled. Again, that speaks of the intensity of his anger. His anger was greatly kindled against the man. Now, you'll notice in both cases, Moses and David, speaking of the intensity of their anger, in both cases, the anger was the emotional response to sin. In both cases. Anger as an emotion is to some extent involuntary. Those emotions to some extent are involuntary, but we need to explain that. Let's say you are somewhere when an announcement comes over a PA system to evacuate the premises immediately because of a fire or because of a bomb threat. And as soon as you hear that, do you choose to feel tense? Do you choose to feel afraid? No. It's involuntary. Automatically, you're going to feel tension. Automatically, there's going to be some fear. So you will involuntarily feel the emotions of that circumstance or that situation. And anger has an emotion, is not primarily a choice. It's involuntary, but not always. And again, when we say that it's not primarily a choice, we need to explain that as well. There are times when you and I can choose not to be angry. In fact, most of the time, we can choose not to be angry. And we can choose to cease being angry. Perhaps the immediate emotion of anger is involuntarily, but you and I can choose to cease being angry. And we can certainly choose our behavioral response to anger. That being said, we are responsible. We are responsible and accountable to control the emotion of anger. That's true with all of our emotions. And we are responsible for what we do with the emotion of anger. Because anger, like all emotions, involves an inward and an outward behavioral response. There is an inward, the emotion is inward, and it produces an outward behavior. That's true with all our emotions. Anger, of course, is no exception. An emotion immediately produces thoughts. As soon as you and I feel an emotion, whatever it is, tonight we're talking about anger, but whatever the emotion is, all emotions immediately produce thoughts. And those thoughts fuel and affect the emotion. It can inflame the emotion. It can calm the emotion down. But whatever thoughts are connected with the emotion, it affects and it fuels the emotion, and it also affects and fuels the outward behavior. And we've already seen when we were dealing with self-pity that you and I are responsible for our thoughts. So even if an emotion is not voluntary, it's just spontaneous, we still are responsible for the thoughts that feed that emotion. And we are responsible and accountable for the thoughts that are going to lead us to whatever act is going to occur. In other words, emotions are very powerful motivators of behavior. They motivate our behavior. That being said, emotions have a tremendous power to influence the mind, to influence the will, to influence our physical bodies, and to influence our entire life. Emotion has that power. And the emotion of anger has the power to certainly influence our mind. It has the power to influence our will. It has the power to influence our physical body. And it has the power to influence and even change our lives. So emotion, anger is an emotion. Now, there is a biological component to anger. The Bible teaches us that anger is an attribute of God. Anger is an attribute of God. So you cannot say that all anger is wrong. Because Paul said, be ye angry. And anger is an attribute of God. Notice in the book of Job, chapter 9, the book of Job, chapter 9, verse 13. If God... We're not going to read all of these verses. We just want to emphasize certain phrases. If God will not withdraw his anger. Psalm 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, that is, reconcile, lest implies a danger, lest he be angry. He be angry. Psalm 7, verse 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. God does not express his anger toward the wicked, toward every single wicked person every day, because God's merciful. God's long-suffering. But God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 21, verses 8 in verse 9. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out all those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. In the time of thine anger. Again, anger is an attribute of God. Psalm 76, verse 7. Notice the last few words of this verse. When once, speaking of God, when once thou art angry. Psalm 90, and verse 11. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Again, anger is a very powerful emotion. Anger is an attribute of God. And no one fully knows the power of God's anger. And you had better be glad that God never, ever loses control of his anger. Because if he did, there wouldn't be anything left. But God is in complete control of his anger. Psalm 103, in verse 8. It says that the Lord is slow to anger, which again speaks of his long suffering. So anger is an attribute of God. We've said that anger is an intense emotion. And the intensity of God's anger is seen throughout the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 29:24, we'll not turn there, we read the heat of His great anger. The heat. That speaks of the intensity. The word great speaks of the intensity of God's anger. We read of the indignation of His anger in Isaiah 30 and verse 30. We read the fury of His anger in Isaiah 42 and verse 25. And we read of the fierceness of His anger in Hosea 11 in verse 9. So make no mistake about it. God's anger is vigorous. God's anger is intense, but it is always controlled, and it is always consistent with who He is. It is always consistent with His person. By that we simply mean that God being holy, God being perfectly righteous, His anger is holy. All of God's attributes center around that one attribute of holiness. Every attribute of God is holy and righteous. That's true of the anger of God. So, anger is an attribute of God. Now, you and I were created in the image of God. And we were given emotions. And these emotions are for our good. They're for our good. If we didn't have the emotion of anger, we'd explode. Emotions are for our good. Emotions are for our protection. That's true in all ways. Emotion is for our protection, and this includes the emotion of anger. Now, these God-given emotions not only reflect what we feel, but they also urge an outward response. Whatever the emotion, whether it be love, joy, anger, all emotions urge an outward response. Now, the emotion of anger, like all emotions, is part of a God-designed internal system to help give people the energy, to help give people the motivation to accomplish certain tasks. That's certainly true of anger. That's certainly true of fear. God gives us these emotions to motivate us to accomplish certain things. Like all other emotions, anger serves a useful purpose in God's design for our lives. It's a form of emotional energy. But it is important to distinguish between anger and the emotion of anger and sinful behaviors driven by anger. They're two separate things, two separate issues. There's the emotion of anger. There's you and I picking up something and throwing it. That's not the emotion of anger. That is a behavior produced by the emotion. You are the emotion, maybe, perhaps, was involuntary. But you're responsible either way, but you're certainly responsible for the behavior. So we must distinguish between the emotion of anger and sinful behaviors driven by anger. Now, as a God-given emotion, anger is not always sinful. This is supported by, well, let's turn to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 18. Proverbs 15, verse 18. Notice that phrase, he that is slow to anger, and he is commending the individual who is slow to anger. He is not saying, he is not commending here a person who never feels anger. He is commending the individual who is slow to anger, which tells us that anger is not always sinful. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger. So again, not all anger is sinful. Now, the expression or behavior produced by the emotion of anger is not always sinful either. Again, the example of Moses. The behavior produced was not, God did not condemn the behavior. And we see in James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, anger and wrath are not the same things. Wrath is a behavior. Anger is an emotion. Wrath is the display of anger. Now, we've already seen that we are to be slow to anger. Therefore, not all anger is sin. We are also told we are to be slow to wrath, slow to act upon our anger, which, again, teaches us that not all expressions produced by anger is sinful. So we see there is a biological component to anger. It is a God-given emotion. Also, there is a learned component to anger. Not only is anger God-given emotion, it is also, to a very large degree, a learned response. We learn how to be angry, and we learn how to express our anger. In our upbringing, we learn to some degree what to be angry about. What makes one family angry may not make another family angry. So therefore, our upbringing, to a large degree, teaches us what we're to be angry about. And also, we learn to some degree what to do with our anger in our upbringing. And we learn how to express the emotion of anger. So, anger is a God-given emotion, but anger also has a learned component as well. We learn how to be angry. We learn what to do with anger. We learn how to express anger. And that can be good, that can be bad. Either way. But we see learned anger and learned anger expression, again, is capable of good, is capable of bad. So, how people react during the emotion of anger can really depend upon several factors. And one of those factors is how we were raised, how we were taught, how mom and dad dealt with anger. Solomon, in his wisdom, warned against associating with those who deal with anger in a wrong way. Because if we associate with them, he says, we will learn of his ways, which teaches us anger is somewhat learned. Notice in Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, with a furious man. Now, this is extreme anger. This is a greater anger. With a furious man, thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways. Lest thou learn his ways We learn the ways of anger. We learn the ways of fury and get a snare, a trap to thy soul, which speaks, of course, of getting stuck. So we see that emotion or anger is an emotion. What is sinful anger? We've already said that not all anger is sinful, but has an emotion. It's not necessarily sinful, but an emotion within sinful man is likely to become sinful. The emotion of anger within a sinner is very likely to become sinful. And therefore, anger is very dangerous. Though it may not be sin in itself, there is justified anger. But even if it's justified, anger is dangerous because of our nature, because of who we are. Anger is dangerous, and it carries a very high probability of sinful behavior. So the truth is, the very moment we feel anger, we are in danger of sinning. The anger can be right. The anger can be justified. It may not be wrong. But as soon as we feel anger because of who we are in danger of sinning. Anger, the emotion of anger, again, it may not be wrong. It may be justifiable. But it puts us in a very dangerous place. And we need to realize that. The moment you and I feel anger, we're in danger. We are in danger of sinning. And therefore, the Holy Spirit led Paul to write in Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry," that's permission to be angry, "and sin not." In other words, in your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. Now, the first emotion of anger may not be sinful, but it can produce a sinful response. So Paul reminds us, in your anger, do not sin. Again, the anger may be justifiable, the anger may be valid, but even justifiable and valid anger does not give us the license, does not give us the liberty to have a sinful, angry, driven behavior. You may have every reason to be angry, but that does not justify a sinful behavior. Never. Never. Yet many will try to justify a sinful behavior because their anger was justifiable. But that's unscriptural. We do not have the right to use the rightness of our anger to choose whatever action we desire. We don't have that right. The thoughts and acts produced by anger are often contrary to the righteousness of God. Notice in James chapter 1, verses 19 and verse 20. James 1, verses 19 and verse 20. We've already seen in verse 19, we're to be slow to wrath. And that wrath speaks of a behavior produced by anger. For the wrath of man the wrath of man does not, or worketh not, the righteousness of God. Any behavior that is contrary to the righteousness of God is sin. It doesn't matter how much you try to justify the behavior, and the emotion that produced the behavior perhaps was right, the emotion itself. But if the act is wrong, then that's sin. And that is sin. So, the be ye angry in Ephesians 4:26 is strictly limited, is strictly restricted and qualified with that imperative, sin not. Be ye angry, sin not. That sets limitations on our anger. That restricts our anger. Well, it's just an emotion and I couldn't help it. No. You have a responsibility to sin not. And not only is there the danger of sinful behavior as a result of anger. Again, we'll not turn there to save time, but Colossians 3 verse 8, we see some of the behaviors associated with anger, such as malice and strife. But the very emotion of anger can be sinful. Again, not all anger is sinful, but there are times when the very emotion of anger can be sinful. Notice, concerning this sinful anger, notice what Solomon said in Proverbs 27 in verse 4. See, our danger is that we can always justify our anger. We can always find a way to justify our anger. But very rarely do we ever get to the root cause of our anger. And many times anger, the very emotion, is sinful. In Proverbs 27 and verse 4, he says, wrath is cruel. That's the acting out of anger. And anger is outrageous. That is, it's disgraceful. There is an anger that is disgraceful. We've seen that there is an anger which is not sinful, but there is an anger, the very emotion, that is disgraceful, that is monstrous, heinous, abominable, and beastly. There is such a thing as sinful anger. We may not act out our anger, but the anger itself can be sinful. Christ in the Sermon on the Mount warned of the judgment of God against sinful anger. Notice in Matthew 5, verse 22, Matthew 5, verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in the danger of judgment. Now, the problem there is we can always convince ourselves that we have a cause to be angry. We can always convince ourselves of that. But the truth is, we don't always have a cause. We may have perceived something wrong. We may have heard something wrong. And off goes our mind, and here we go. But anger, sinful anger, puts us in danger of the judgment of God. Sinful anger, talking about the very emotion of anger, is one of the most destructive, is one of the most detrimental and injurious attitudes that a person can have. Sinful anger. It'll destroy you, and there's a good chance it'll destroy someone else. It is very, very dangerous. Sinful anger causes us to have distorted assumptions. A person who has Sinful anger, again, we've already said, they can always justify their anger. They can always find a reason why they're angry in their own mind. But the truth is, their anger is based many times on distorted assumptions. And sinful anger just continues to distort assumptions. And we see with a when we're angry, we begin to see with a distorted perspective. We don't see clearly when we're angry. And again, that is why it's very dangerous. And sinful anger can cause us to draw distorted conclusions. All of these things, our assumptions, our perspective, our conclusions, though they all be distorted, in our minds, they're the I have reason. I am justified to be angry. But the emotion of anger has a tendency to distort things. Again, the truth is, not only are we in danger of sinning, the very moment we feel angry, we also are in danger of becoming stuck and boggled down in the pit of anger. And anger is one of the worst places that a child of God can get stuck in. You sit down and you talk with people about their problems, and a very, very, very high percent problems and issues that they have are anger-based. If you really get down to the root of the matter, more than likely, not always, but more than likely, you will find anger somewhere. It may go back 20 years. But somewhere, more than likely, you will find anger. People get stuck in the pit of anger. And just because somebody says those words, "I forgive you," does not mean that they forgive you. Nor does it mean that they are not stuck in the pit of anger. I'm telling you, it's one of the worst places you can get stuck. It is certainly one of the most destructive places where you can get stuck. Like all other pits that God's people become mired in, this pit of anger will obstruct and will hamper your relationship with the Lord. You cannot be stuck in anger and be right with God. It's not possible. You cannot be stuck in anger and not have it hinder and obstruct your relationship with the Lord. Now, we can get stuck in anger. Our anger can be toward God, and we'll get more on that next week. Our anger could be toward self, and our anger could be toward someone else. Our anger can be toward something. Well, whatever direction our anger goes, we are in danger of getting stuck there. And that is very, very destructive. Therefore, because we are in danger of getting stuck, the Spirit of God led Paul to write, "Be ye angry and sin not." And then he wrote, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Which is just another way of saying, don't get stuck there. Even if your anger is justifiable, even if it's valid, don't get stuck there. Don't get stuck there, because it'll ruin you. It'll ruin you spiritually. Notice in the book of Jonah, chapter 4, book of Jonah, chapter 4. And we'll want to read verses 6 through verse 9. "And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. That was an emotion. Gladness, happiness, that's an emotion. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise, and God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry even unto death. I not only do well to be angry, I have the right to remain angry until I die." That'll ruin you. That'll destroy you. First of all, Jonah's anger was not justified anger. It was not valid anger. His anger was at God. But regardless, God asked him, "Doest thou well to be angry?" And we need to hear God ask ourselves that, ask that question to ourselves when we're angry. "Doest thou well to be angry?" And Jonah was so foolish that he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry. I am right to be angry. And I'm going to stay that way till I die." That's being stuck. And again, that'll destroy you. That'll ruin you. You will not advance spiritually. And because of the danger, because of the risk involved in anger, it is always an act of foolishness to allow it to take up permanent residence within our hearts. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9, and we'll close. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9. "Be not hasty in thy spirit," which is another way of saying be slow to anger. "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry." Then notice what it says. "For anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Some people are very, very quickly angered. Angered over just about anything. It's foolishness. And any time we allow anger to reside, to take up residence in our hearts, you can go to bed every night and say, "I have every right to be angry. I have every right to be angry." And you can do that for 20 years and see where it gets you. See where it gets you. Go ahead and defend your right to be angry. But you keep holding on to it, it'll destroy you. Don't get stuck there. Don't get stuck in anger. I'm telling you, that's why some relationships will never be fixed. Because people are stuck. They are stuck in anger. And when you've been stuck somewhere for a length of time, the longer you are there, the harder it is to get out. The deeper you gotta go. The deeper you've got to dig to get out. Just don't get stuck there. "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Well, I have every right to be angry. Again, if that's the attitude you want to carry with you through your life, because you can always, everybody that's angry, talk to them. They have every right to be angry. I've never talked to anyone yet that doesn't feel they have the right. Does not feel that they have the right to be angry. Everybody feels that they have the right to be angry at whatever they're angry at. So you can convince yourself of any time the emotion of anger rises up within us, we can always say, "I have the right to feel angry, and therefore I have the right to stay angry." That's foolishness. And it'll destroy you. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Jim will lead us in singing.